This was a podcast recorded at the 2025 Rally Conference, where youth ministries from the Outer East joined together under one name. Enjoy!
Here we are at the Rally, say the Rally. How are you guys this morning? Is anyone sleepy out there? I like that energy. Someone said, not at all. Hey, you're not allowed to be sleepy. Say, don't sleep to your friend next to you. Say, don't sleep. Because I'm the old guy here, and I only got like 6 hours sleep, and I'm ready to go. I promise you that. I'm dialed in. Maybe anyone out there just like you got like 4 hours sleep. Anyone out there 4 hours sleep? Brother up here, my fellow tall man, working on hot coal boiling. And what's your name, bro? Bailey. Nice to meet you, Bailey. I'm Josh. How tall are you? 6'9". Really? On a good day or every day? Every day. 6'9". I'm probably still stronger than him, and I'm ready to go. So, it's awesome to be with you. Have you guys been having fun? You're allowed to talk to me this morning. You having fun? All right. Well, thank you to my friend, the Keys player. Make some noise for Mr. Keys. What's your name, bro? James. Make some noise for James. One thing I've learned about the Rally is there are a lot of biblical names at the Rally. We've got James. There's lots of Matts out here. Make some noise for all the Matts. There's some Joshes. Any Esters out here? Any Esters? I don't know. Going once, going twice. What's your name here? Yep. Ashton. What's your name? Christy. Nice to meet you. Well, everyone's like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look. What's your name here? Say it one more time. Olive. Do you like America? Got an America flag on your she said sure. Okay, that's probably everyone's stance on America, just sure. I actually moved back from America last year with my family. Smooth introduction right there. And really, really grateful to be back in Australia and hanging out with you guys today. If you were at the Undivided event that I spoke at like last year, just give me a wave to see if I know anyone has heard me or seen me. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Well, I was there, and it was great to be with you if you were at that event. But when Pastor Matt called me and said, come hang and prayed about it, and just felt like God has something for this region and what's taking place right here. And there's lots of friends here, lots of amazing churches represented here. And I just want to say and challenge you. Can you look at your neighbor and say, there's a challenge? This is the final day of the Rally. Say, aww. But I don't want you to miss what God has for you today, all right? I don't want you to just kind of be a little bit slumped down and I'm a bit tired, but I need you to be locked in. Are you locked in? All right? I didn't come here for a sleepy people. I came here for a hungry people who want the things of God. Come on, somebody. And so we're going to have fun today. Can we make some noise for all the youth pastors and youth leaders that are in the room? You guys are heroes. Thank you guys so much for all you do. I'm so excited to hang with you today. They told me if I don't get us out of here on time, there's a magic trap door that disappears and it takes me away forever, all right? So we're going to get into the Word of God. Say the Word of God. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. You can turn there with me. While you're doing that, I want to quickly introduce you to my family so you at least know who I'm talking about today. This is my family here. That's my high school sweetheart. Hello. Taylor Bull, we've been married for 11 years, and these are my American-born sons, Eli at the top, Zane at the bottom, and just absolute legends, and we are teaching them all the Aussie ways. They recently just went to their first Collingwood football match, and go the Pies. 2026 is our year. We're coming back, baby, and we're excited to be back in Australia. We just started 3 weeks ago. Say 3 weeks ago. We started a brand new church right here in Melbourne, close to the city. Already seen 20 people give their life to Jesus in 2 weeks. How amazing is that? All glory to God. And so many great things happening all across Melbourne and in these particularly this region. And I'm excited to share the Word of God with you. I want to remind us of our theme, and then we're going to jump into our main text today. I love this passage that Pastor Matt sent me. Romans 15, it says this. May the God of endurance, say endurance, encouragement, grant you to live in harmony with one another. Look at your friend and say, one another. in accord with Christ Jesus, so that together you may be of one voice, glorify the our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this thought of one accord coming after Jesus. I wonder what it would look like for you to take seriously the words of Jesus and say, together, let us follow Jesus. Not just in my little local youth ministry, but across the region. Could we believe for God to do a mighty work in our day and in our land? If you're with me, say amen. This is why these moments matter. Where we gather together, we are equipped, we grow, we learn, because God is doing something great at large and in your generation. I wonder what it would look like for one people to gather together to lift up the name of Jesus, to be equipped to live on mission. I wonder what your school would look like. I wonder what your football club would look like. I wonder what your family would look like when you know you're a part of a bigger story. Say bigger story. So today, I want to equip us as we are on our final day of the rally, and I love the language of the rally. I led a young adult ministry in America called Rally, and shout out to Rally. Acts 2:42 is how we gathered this whole young adult ministry. The Bible, food, prayer, life together, these are essential elements of the Christian faith. And I love the thought of rallying together around one person, and his name is Jesus. And so today, as we gather around Jesus ultimately and in his word, I want you to get expectant that God wants to speak to you. But I have a confession. Can I confess something to you? I'm going to anyway. I'm not very good at reading, so I need someone who's good at reading to come help me up here. Is anyone good at reading out there? Don't all act. I know you are. This is family time, or else I'm going to point and pick on someone. Anyone who wants to come help me read the scriptures really quickly? Come on, somebody. I need a volunteer. Going once, going twice. Come on, Bailey. You're up, brother. Come on, bro. Make some noise for Bailey. He's pointing at his mate. He said, all right, I'm going to pick on. Come on, bro. Come up here. You got it. You got it. Come on, give me a chant. Bailey, 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 Bailey. Appropriate peer pressure, bro. 6'9", hey? Wow. All right. Does everyone always ask if you play basketball?
Yes.
And you play mini golf, don't you?
Sometimes.
Specialist. All right, bro. There's some scripture going to appear. Matthew chapter 7. I think it's up here. If you feel like you can't handle this, that's fair. Give it a crack, one verse, and then I'll help you out. Or if you want to keep going, you keep going. There's no pressure up here. I know I just dragged you up here. But tall guys got to stick together, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right, bro, you got it.
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Appreciate you, bro. Thank you for helping me. We're going to... you can leave, Bailey. Thank you. Appreciate it. Make some noise for Bailey one more time. What a legend. You maybe have heard this passage of scripture before, but I really think there's something of value to you today as we are gathering around the teachings of Jesus this week and want to be of one accord following Jesus. I want to look into this text. And if you are taking notes, and I've heard this is the space that takes notes. I've heard that. Do you know I go to youth conferences and bribe people to take notes? Do you know that? Do you want to be bribed? I just do this competition. I was just in Bendigo all week and I bribed them. I said, best note takers, and I gave away money. And I feel like I would be insincere if I didn't bribe. And I got another confession. I didn't bring any money on me today. But if there's something in the merch table, is there a hat left? Is there any hats? Okay, I don't know how much these things cost, but I'll buy two of the items for someone, okay? So I'll buy you a hat and a t-shirt, okay? I don't know how much these cost. I may have just lost all my savings. I don't know, but... if you take the best notes today, I'm going to buy you a hat and a t-shirt, all right? I've already heard you're great note takers. So what you need to do today, while you're in your electives, you may need to take some time and scribble some thoughts of God. And then tonight, you can tag me on social media or come find me, show me. I want to do an inspection. We're going to get a committee together. And tonight, I'm going to buy and give someone a hat and the t-shirt for the best note takers, all right? Pastor Matt, is that cool? Is that all right? I'm going to do that. So make sure you don't sell out. I'll buy one of them. All right, here we go. The title of this message is called Dig a Little Deeper. Can you say that with me? Dig a little deeper. One more time. Dig a little deeper. Let's pray and we'll dive into the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here. The Holy Spirit, would you come? I thank you for my brothers and sisters here in this room. I thank you that there's a sense of hunger for you, Jesus. And I pray as we gather around your word, you would speak to us, that we would see you clearer, Jesus. We all said, amen. Amen. Whenever I come to a space like this, I always got to check a few things. Does anyone out here love your school, or you love going to school, or you're excited to be back at school? Like, I need to gauge the room. If that's you, if you're like, man, I like school, like, that's okay, we've probably got, I'm guessing, 20% of the room. Do all the rest of you hate school? Is that the vibe? Like, you're like, man, don't like school. Is that the kind of vibe? Okay. Is anyone just kind of very neutral? Like, you're just like, man, I'm kind of 50-50 with it. Okay, I see you guys. Well, I was kind of the guy that appreciated school but hated school. Like, I was kind of in that camp, you know what I'm saying? But there was one day distinctly that I dreamt about for a really, really long time while I was in school, and you know what day it was? My last day of school. I don't know if any of you are in year 12 or you're coming up to that day, but I remember that day so distinctly because we gathered kind of like in a big classroom with my whole year level. And you know what a lot of people were doing? They were crying. I'm going to miss you, Bobby. I'm going to miss you, Sally. And I'm like, man, get me out of here. Like, I'm like, I don't want to see you again. There's a lot of crying. There's a lot of tears, you know, and people start doing this thing, and you'll do this one day, or for the leaders or the older people with some gray hair in the room, they know some things. But you know what we started to do? We started to tell stories of what we once did. I remember the good old days in year 7. I remember when we won that footy match. Remember when we pranked the teacher. Remember when we did this or that. Or remember when you had your first kiss. Hello. We started going down memory lane, and my girlfriend at the time, Taylor, who is now my wife, hello. I broke out of friend zone, fellas, but that's a dating talk for another time. Thank you, brother. He's in the friend zone up there. I don't know what's going on, but he has faith. He's ready. I don't know your story, bro. I'll meet you later. I don't know. Maybe that was a prophetic word. I don't know, but I'm sorry, man. I don't know. I don't even know who's up there. There's lots of lights in my eyes, so there's noise, so I don't know what's happening. But my girlfriend was weeping, like she was so sad, right? And she's like, I'm so sad. And I was like, man, get me on out of here. And we go, like the day goes by and we have the moment when we're leaving the school property for the very last time. One chapter ending and another chapter beginning of the young adult years. And I think about that day often because you know what was taking place in that moment? Something registered in me. I will never forget where I stood. I had this thought, I will never get this chapter in my life ever again. It's done. Forever, my high school life will always be a once upon a time story. Not active, not I can't change how I'm living, not man, I could dream about what I could do in high school or anything like that. It was done. Say done. And I'm here today over the next few sessions is while I'm here is I want to help you lift your eyes and get a vision for what your life could look like because one day this entirety chapter of our lives will be done. Say done. We are eternal beings and there will be a day where I hope if maybe we're 80 years old and we're all collectively sitting on a front porch with a little sore back and some wrinkles on our face, we will collectively tell a story of how we lived our life. And I pray it would be a story that you would be proud of. I pray it would be a story marked by faith. I pray it would be a story marked by following God's lead and following God's guide. And I know in these days of life, it can be just, man, I'm just trying to get through the day and I'm just trying to get through this week. But I want to encourage you, young person, to lift your eyes and ask the question, and recognize you are building something with your life. But what kind of life are you building? Have you thought about that for a moment? What kind of life are you building? But I want you to build a life that lasts. I want you to build a life with eternal realities to it. I want you to build a life that says, I am going to dig a little deeper. In these few moments we have, and then we're going to jump into small group discussion, I want to hopefully pass on some biblical truths to you, some ways to equip you for the days to come so that you can live a life that lasts for the sake of the kingdom with your eyes on Jesus. If you're with me, say yeah. All right, the first principle is this, and what we need to recognize if we're going to build something that lasts, we're going to dig a little deeper, it is this, that foundations are crucial. Can you say that with me? Foundations are crucial. Say it louder. Foundations are crucial. When we look at this scripture story, we understand the whole backdrop. We got to pause and think, what is Jesus actually teaching here? Well, if you've been around the Christian faith for a while, maybe you've heard of this, but this is the climactic moment in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching his followers, his people, kind of a moment like this where he's having a conversation with them and he's just taught a whole bunch of essentially ways in which to live in his kingdom, right? Some life principles, prayer and forgiveness and a whole bunch of different things. And then at the very end, he tells her this story of a man who hears some words and doesn't do them. And Jesus will compare them to like someone who builds their house on sand and the winds and waves come and that crumbles. Does that make sense? But then he also says, hey, you would be like someone if you hear these words of mine and you do them, you'd be like a man who builds his house on rock and the wind and wave come, but it still remains standing. So two distinct things. There is sand and there is rock. Say sand and rock. But it's not talking about two geographical different locations. Like there's a rocky place over here and a sandy place there. He's telling a story of one same location, one similar life. You know, your life is not just about where you build, geographically talking, the kind of environment you build. But no, do you know the life of following Jesus is all about how deep you go in him? It's not just let me create a cushy environment where it feels really nice over here and then maybe I'll live a good life for Jesus. Do you know there's a lot of people in the world that face persecution, heartache, pain, suffering, and they have incredible walks with Jesus because they have decided to go deep in him. And that's the life I want to invite you into, not just looking for cushy circumstances of life, but an actual life marked by distinct difference where you're saying, I want to dig deep. Does that make sense today? And I want to encourage as a young person to see the distinct differences between the two. Two different types of foundations. We hear of this story of two builders who have clear similarities, but yet distinct differences. Both of these builders have heard the words of Jesus. Both would build a house, and yet both experienced storms. All of us here today can hear the words of Jesus. All of us are building something with our life, and all of us will face difficult in our life. Jesus said, in this life you have trouble, but do not fear, I have overcome the world. We live in a trouble-ridden world. Can I just side note for a moment? You know why there's heartache and pain in the world? Because we live in a world riddled with sin. Sin is where we've missed God's perfect standard. If you're wondering why do bad things happen in this world, it's because we have a sin condition in humanity. This is where man and woman has fallen short of God's perfect standard. Yet God has come and offered us a redemptive nature found in Christ Jesus. And so today, you and I can lift our eyes and see, yes, we live in a difficult circumstances, but we understand Jesus came, lived a perfect life, defeated death, and is alive today. We have an eternal hope in him. So every one of us have to make a decision of what kind of life will we live and where will we build and how will we build. The difference between these types of foundation is the sand is comfortable. You know, my boys, they love going to the beach and playing in some sand. I've got some sand over here. Make some noise for some sand. Clap, clap, clap. Oh, hello. There's a lot of sand in here, Pastor. We've got a brick and sand. Note to self, lots of sand together is heavy, all right? Some of you work out, you do sandbags and all sorts of stuff. I know Bailey does. Sand feels nice. Like right now, it feels nice in my hand, right? Does anyone want to come play with some sand? Do you like building sandcastles? Sen's nice to have a little sleep on, summer day. Does anyone like the beach out there? You're excited to go for summer. Feels comfortable, it feels nice, the sand. But sand is a hopeless thing to build with. Feels nice, it's cushy, it's comfortable, but it is a hopeless thing to build with. The other difference that Jesus compares it to is rock. Man, I don't know about you, but I haven't put my head on a brick recently for a sleep. It's not very comfortable. I can't really do much with this thing. It is sturdy and strong, but it is difficult to work with. Two different types of foundations. We are all, whether we recognize it or not, we're all looking for something firm and stable to build our lives upon. At first, we might want something cushy and comfortable. Man, tell me how to live my life. Tell me how to live a certain way. And let me live my way. Let me live up to my way that I want to live. And that would be a life on sand. But if we want to build something that lasts, we've got to build on rock. And the good news for us today, friends, is that Jesus Christ is the rock. That a common theme through Scripture is God is our rock, our firm foundation. Psalm 62 would say this, verse 1. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly my rock and salvation. He is my fortress and I will never be shaken. Jesus has changed my life, friends, and I pray He has changed your life too. But we got to recognize, friends, that He is the firm foundation. He is the one that we can build our life upon, because the foundation of your life is crucial. The second principle is this, is that when we understand it's crucial, everyone say it is costly. Foundations are costly. Say costly. Say it like an American, costly. How you build on a firm foundation matters. It would be quick and easy to build something on sand. We don't have to do much work, but anyone who's maybe built something out here, maybe your parents work in construction, or you've got a crazy uncle who always loves to just build stuff, I don't know. But they will all tell you, you got to get the foundations right first before you go up. You got to get the foundations of your life right first before you go up. The foolish start to want busy activity. The world says go quick, 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 quick. But you know what God wants? He wants you to build a life of strength. Not just looking for success in a moment, but He wants you to build a life strength. St. Augustine would say this, an old historic church father. The higher you want your structure to be, the deeper its foundations must be. Think about that young person. If you want to live a life where you do something significant, if you want to live a life where you see life change take place, you need deep foundations. We live in a world that goes viral quickly online. We live in a world that can make a bunch of noise. But if you don't have internal realities with God, where things go deep with Him, you will crumble. I've just seen it to be true, man. If you don't have depth to your life, depth to, with your walk with God, you will crumble. And so you need to make a decision as a young person and say, I'm going to dig a little deeper. Is this helpful today? All right, a few last things, and we're going to jump into group discussion about building solid foundations. Any IKEA lovers out there? I like to learn rooms. Well, passionate IKEA. What's your name? Aaron. Lovely to meet you. You led us in worship, right? Shout out to Aaron. Make some noise for Aaron. Well, Aaron and I are opposites. I hate IKEA. When my wife goes to IKEA, I start like twitching. I'm like, Lord, please keep her away from IKEA. We just built, fit out our church building. We got a miracle story. We got our own building for our church. And you know what we did? We lived at IKEA. And every time I saw an IKEA package, I'd be twitching like, Lord, please save me from IKEA. But these things would come with the most ridiculous instructions. Have you seen these before? They're like funny stick figures and they're like pointing instructions. Have you seen this before? They're like flat packs, but they don't actually come set up for you, right? And I'll often just throw the pack away. I say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. And I'll try my best to set them up. And then you know what happens? I spend 2 hours trying to set these things up. And then my wife walks in and says, you've done it all wrong. And I'll say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. No, I'm joking. You know what she does? She just grabs the instructions, 20 minutes. It's like she clicks her fingers. It's all perfect. It's a great picture because so often you and I are like me and we throw out the manual to life and we just go live our way, try and make it our own way, and it just doesn't work. But if we will understand that there is design, there is intentionality, that you were made in the image of God, there is a way in which you were invited to live, all of a sudden watch what happens in your life. You start to create spiritual disciplines, you start to pray, you start to live in godly community, you start to confess to one another, you start to open up the scriptures, and all of a sudden, you start to dig a little deeper. I pray we will be young people that say, I'm not just going to listen to the ways of the world and just kind of make my own go of it, live my own truth. No, my friends, there is design to your life, and it's the best life you could ever know. But so many of us let the word of God collect dust in our lives. So many of us go and listen to all the other voices in the world and forget that God is speaking to us today. So very practically, I want to ask you a few practical ways, then we're going to land this plane so I don't get taken up by this trap door under the stage and they put me in preaching prison because I took too long. Real practically, how is your devotion time with God? Maybe this term, you need to make the decision to wake up a little bit earlier, and rather than just scrolling on your phone first thing in the morning, open up the Word of God in your life and get the Word of God first thing in the morning. I want to ask you, how is your worship music experience, I would say? Basically, we can listen to, some of you love conspiracy theory podcasts and all sorts of gossip or whatever out there. What if you turn down the noise of the world and just creating atmospheres where the worship presence of God is? Maybe you need to ask your leader, hey, will you show me some worship music to listen to? A few practicals. Your church attendance. So many things demand for your attention. Why don't you dig a little bit deeper and decide, I'm going to be in church every single Sunday. Lead your family in this. Like say, mom and dad, we're going to church because it's good for me to be around the body of believers and grow together. Youth on a Friday night, just make the decision. I'm going to be there every single Friday because when you get in environments like this, it's making a decision to dig a little deeper. Maybe some of you, it's for prayer. Maybe it's like, man, I want to be bold enough to ask you, pray daily. Don't just treat God like a Santa Claus with a shopping list, but enjoy a relationship with God in prayer. He wants to hear from you. Some of you think Pastor Matt or these other people, they have a good prayer life because they say nice words. No, do you know what Jesus says? He says, come to me like a little child. My sons come to me and say, Daddy, I'm hungry. My little boy woke up this morning, walked out and said to me just simply, Daddy, I love you. And it melted my heart. All of these big eloquent phrases, I want to encourage you to have a life with God. Because it will cost you something. Sometimes you've got to say no to something to say yes to something good. And I know that the world has said they've written off your generation. They've said, man, the anxious generation, they won't amount to much. There's news articles written about you. But I'm seeing it all around the world. God is saying something different about your generation because you are hungry. You want a cause to go after. You want to see something in your time. And I'm watching miracles after miracles take place because you want to live for something, don't you? Isn't there something on the inside of you that says, I want something to go after? And the best life you could go after is found in King Jesus. So hear his words and do his word and watch as you dig deeper. Where's my keyboard friend? I forgot your name. I'm so sorry. James. Was it James? I'm learning names today. Come on, James. Land this plane with me, will you? And then we're going to jump into group time. Make some noise for James. There's a quote by a man named D.L. Moody. And if you want some inspiring stories, go read of this man's life. But he says this. The world has yet to see what God can do with a fully consecrated man unto himself. What does this mean? Someone who says, I'm going all in for Jesus. It's going to cost me something. I understand the crucial nature of building a life upon the rock. But I pray this would be the cause and that what your generation is known for, going all in for Jesus. Because if you want to do anything significant with your life, if you want to live a life that matters, when you're 80 years old telling some stories, it's going to take some time. You've got to settle in with saying no to some things, saying yes to some things, digging a little bit deeper, not just settling for superficial realities. Because lastly, I just want to encourage you as a big brother today, foundations will be tested. Your foundations of life will be tested. I don't want you to hear from some 6'6", maybe 6'7" guy. You like that? Boys over here. I don't want you to hear from me and just hear some talk but not hear an encouragement today that life's difficult, man. I'm not here trying to act like it's all perfect and breezy in life. Things at home are all good. We will go through challenges. We will go through difficulty. But I want us to understand that when we build our life upon the rock, heartache may come, difficult may come, but we know there's something of substance sustaining us in all things. Because maybe there's a young lady out here today and you've built your life upon the sand and recently it feels like you're going through a breakup or relational difficulty and you can feel the cheapness of the life that you've settled with. Maybe there's a young man here and you've just received news of divorce in your family or some difficult circumstances and you've just been living by worldly standards and you feel like everything is falling apart. Some of us have felt the crushing of life come our way, but I pray that we would see what the invitation is to building our life upon the rock. Maybe you're going through that relational difficulty right now and there's an invitation to knowing that there's a Father in heaven who made you. Though you may feel like things are falling around you, you feel the firmness of a loving Father who says, I love you and I will redeem. Maybe the divorce or something of difficult circumstances in your family, God is saying, I am the Redeemer. I am the one that turns horrible things for good. Maybe it's death in a loved one. I've experienced in my own life, death of my mom, all sorts of horrible things that have taken place. And I have realized that my posture can change. Sometimes I'm all good, God, you're amazing, big sir. And sometimes I'm on my knees begging out for God to come through. But the rock doesn't change. Come on, somebody, the rock doesn't change. If you will make a decision in your life to dig a little bit deeper, I promise you this, you will see him come through. This life that he's invited you into, friends, can I remind you of some promises? You will experience peace that surpasses all understanding, says Philippians. The Holy Spirit will be like a brother close to you. The body of Christ will come together like we read of in Acts 2. God will be your ever-present help, like we read of in Psalm 46. You can say words like this, death, where is your sting, like we read of in 1 Corinthians, because we see the life that we are invited into when we dig a little deeper. So do we commit to be the kinds of people that dig deeper? That we start digging deeper, praying for our schools, we start digging deeper, getting honest with God, we start digging deeper, changing the patterns and rhythms of our life to orientate them around Jesus, digging deeper and understanding, I want all that Jesus has for me. Just close your eyes for a moment. We're going to take one moment of prayer and response, and Pastor Matt's going to come lead us into discussion time as a group. Just close your eyes, wait on him for one moment. Holy Spirit, will you come? Thank you for moments like this where we can be honest. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here in this room. Right now, I think there's an invitation for maybe you've recognized in areas in my life I've been settling for building upon sand. Maybe it's with relationships, desires for the future, whatever it is. But I think there's a loving invitation to say, hey, would you dig a little deeper? Maybe for some of you, it's getting a picture for what your life could look like, giving a yes to Jesus. For some of you, it's feeling the loving grace of your Father in heaven. The Spirit of God is with you. King Jesus has invited you into the greatest life ever. God, I thank you for what you're doing here in this space. As we dive into discussion now, I pray that you would help us be honest with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you just stand with me for one moment? Pastor Matt, you can come up here. Do this with me real quick. It's just one little visual before we jump into the discussion. Will you lock arms with someone next to you? Just lock, like, interlock your arms like this, like this. Yep. That's great. Now, I don't need you to be silly in this, but it's just, I want you to always remember this. Someone lean this on the tail end of your lean. Lean that way. There's people on the right, yeah? Hold them up. Hold them up. Don't let them fall. You feel that? Now, the group on this side of the link, lean that way. Hold them up. Hold them up. Now, eyes on me. Eyes on me. Stop. Do you know what that is? That's one body coming together for the cause of Christ. When someone falls, we lift each other up. The reason why we have discussion, the reason why we have moments like this to connect, to lean on one another. So I want to encourage you in this time while we have discussion to be